Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016. I'm Broadway stars James Marino. Matt is off tonight seeing a screening of the National Theater's live One Man, Two Governors featuring Tony Award-winning performance from the host of The Late Late Show, James Corden. Matt will be on This Week on Broadway this Sunday to give us a review. So joining us, we have two very special guests with us. Robbie Rizzell is with us. We've talked about Robbie a number of times this week from Broadway Records. He is an incredible designer who is doing amazing things. He's joining us from the streets of Astoria where he's taking his evening walk, aren't you, Robbie?
It is the streets where I live.
And also with us is Patrick Hines from the Theater People podcast, who is certainly the leading person in podcasting right now that is doing amazing work interviewing just every Broadway star under the sun. So Patrick, thank you for joining us.
Hi guys, I'm so happy to be here. I can't believe I get to talk to both of you at the same time. This is so exciting. Patrick, that Alice Ripley interview you did this week is spectacular. Thank you. Oh my god, Alice Ripley was a trip. She was so fun.
So I asked both of you guys to come on because you both were really big proponents of Fun Home, and we got the word this evening that Fun Home's going to be closing on September 10th. And after an 18-month run on Broadway, and it's got a national tour that's going to launch in October in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, mio, oh, my, oh, Cleveland, Ohio. And if it's still standing there after the Republican convention, I guess.
Boy. Boy. Why would you do that to me? That's a trigger word.
So tell us, let's come back to your happy place, back to your Fun Home place. Tell us what you, you know, Robbie, why don't you start and tell us what your experience is with Fun Home?
Oh, I fell in love with the show. I didn't get to see it off Broadway, weirdly, because there was some glitch on the public website the day I tried to buy tickets. And I called Judy Kuhn, and she was like, I can't even help you get in. We're that packed. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'll never see it. And then they announced the Broadway transfer, and I was so excited. I saw the final preview before they opened, and my heart leapt. It was so beautiful, so brilliantly just written and staged at Circle in the Square with that amazing cast. And then I went back to it recently to see it, and just happened to see Jim Stanek go on for Bruce the father, and I wish I could remember her name, but she was on for the mother. And it's just, it really held up. It's not a show that's like needs star power to lead it, and that made me very happy as well.
So Patrick, how about you? You've interviewed everybody at Fun Home seemingly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've said this before that I was sort of raised on Fun Home. My mom is a lesbian, so I remember getting a copy of Fun Home like right when it came out. And, you know, I loved the book. I should say, you know, I'm kind of lying. Like, I avoided reading the book because graphic novels didn't really like hold any, you know, it wasn't something that was really interesting to me. But then I read it and I just couldn't believe it. And then, you know, I heard they were making a musical and I was kind of very skeptical. But then I read that it was Lisa Crone and Jeanine Tesori, who I just like, I'm just enamored of both of them. I think they're both incredible artists separately. I couldn't even imagine what they could create together. And then it was just, you know, I mean, it's sort of like unspeakably brilliant. You know, it's just so perfect. It's the coming together of like so many, you know, from like the creative side and from the performance side. And yeah, I mean, we were so lucky. We got to interview Lisa Crone early on, and we've never aired her episode because it was so early in our podcasting journey that we just didn't know what we were going to do. But we are going to have her back at some point. We got to interview Jeanine Tesori, who was just incredible. I mean, Jeanine Tesori is just a force of nature. And then Michael Cerveris invited us to his dressing room, and we did this like incredible in dressing room interview with him. And he was just, I mean, my goodness, it was such an honor to talk to him. And then Beth Malone, we had Beth Malone, and she was like, I totally have such a crush. I just have a crush on her, like such a crush. I talk about it all the time. You know what? I just think it's so amazing that this show, that's a show about a lesbian, not only won the Tony Award, but just, you know, is speaking to all different types of people. And, you know, it's this true story that, you know, it's a true story about a gay person where, like, the gay person isn't the secondary or third character. It's like the lead character and their journey is what's important. And, it, you know, it's so rare that you get to see that on Broadway, and especially told in such a genius way. So it's just been thrilling to have it be on Broadway all this time.
It's amazing, as you said, that this little tiny show with no big movie and television stars got this wonderful run and got such great recognition last year at the Tony Awards.
And, God. Mm-hmm. That Tony Award performance, can we just talk about that for a second? Because let's be real, they could have just put Come to the Phone Home as the Tony number with, like, three adorable kids and not even broach, you know, the plot, the lesbian plot of the show. And to put that little girl's really, like, coming of age song on the Tonys is
It's so interesting how
beautiful,
like,
move.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was because I think that any of us who are different, like, not even just gay, but, like, you know, any of us who are theater nerds or, you know, certainly gay kids, whatever, like, you know, what an opportunity. Like, we all have those memories of sitting and watching the Tony Awards in our pajamas when we were so young. And, you know, what an incredible opportunity to get to see something that, like, really speaks directly to your soul. You know, just such an incredible, incredible gift. Hi, baby. My daughter came out of her bed.
and of course, you know, just like that song, the Ring of Keys, It's so honest, you know. We all had our Ring of Keys moments, whatever they were. Mm-hmm. So for her to sing about, you know, a bus and truck, Lea Delaria, really. It's like really. It was so moving, and I remember I was still at Playbill, and I was working in the war room that night, and just everything stopped when that number started, and I just wept. We were in the middle of Playbill Pride. And it was really a pivotal moment, I think.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, I think in their Tony speech, they said how, you know, they were talking about how Ring of Keys is not a love song. It's a song of recognition, you know, and, like, that just speaks, like, that spoke so, so much to my soul. And, you know, it needs to be said that, like, they're Lisa and Janine, they were the first, you know, female writing team, composing team to win Tony Award,
which is
for best new musical. And it wasn't televised. And to present that televised awards, I think the Tonys has a little bit of a ways to go.
Of course it does. Of course it does. But thank God they won for that score.
Mm-hmm.
That was can you imagine if it were just like a piffle, like, mm-hmm. any like Crazy for You or whatever, written by women, I don't think would have the same impact that Ring of Keys, not Ring of Keys, but Fun Home, the total of Fun Home has. They won for that score, and that score is brilliant.
So we had some
incredible.
We had some really breakout performances, but just before I let you go, let's think about this. Where is Sydney Lucas going to be in 10 years and 15 years? You know, is she our next Andrea McArdle, the little orphan Annie that 15 years from now we'll find starring on stage and screen?
Oh. You know, it's so funny because I, you know, Daisy Egan is one of my best friends, and we were talking about that very thing just today about Sydney Lucas, because, you know, Sydney went on and did the Secret Garden concert with Daisy at Lincoln Center. And, you know, I mean, Sydney, like, you know, I asked Daisy and, you know, like, she would tell me, like, what is she like? And Daisy's just like, she's incredible. Like, she's an incredibly smart, incredibly talented, really, like, nice young woman, you know. And I think that she's got the goods, and I think she's got a long career ahead of her.
Yeah, I think so too. So, Patrick, I'll let you go and put Daisy to bed. Thank you so much for joining us to give us some your views on Fun Home, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thanks, guys. Bye, Robbie. Get home to your
mom. Bye, Patrick.
Please.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so Robbie, before I let you go, you had a busy day today. You were posting up some nice Instagram pictures, and tell us about what you did this afternoon for lunch.
I've had a little busy week. As your listeners probably know, we put out the Broadway for Orlando, What the World Needs Now is Love single. And today, I went over to 30 Rock with, I don't know, 50-plus Broadway stars and watched them tape the song live for Maya and Marty, which is going to be on in about an hour. On NBC. It was incredible.
So tell us, you know, give me a quick rundown of the last 2 weeks of your life.
Oh, well.
Have you done anything?
No, slept a lot. we were, you know, gearing up for the Tonys, and of course we had Color Purple and Fiddler sort of in the ring because we recorded both cast albums, and then and of course that morning was the shooting at Pulse nightclub in Orlando. The next day we were in the studio to record Jorgen Man Charlie Brown, and that day I was like, you know, it feels really insignificant to be making a cast album, but it brings a lot of joy and comfort. So, you know, that's how I found my peace. And halfway through, James Wesley and Seth Rudetsky came in to the session and pitched this idea for a We Are the World style Broadway for Orlando thing. What the world needs now is love. We said yes immediately, and everybody started making phone calls. Everything was donated. Everything. The orchestration was donated. 802 gave the musicians for free. There was so much catering there that was all donated. I can't even tell you. And then just the stars started to pour in on Wednesday. And, you know, I rode an elevator with Carole King, which is nuts. you know, Seth's teaching the song to them and points over at a group of Tony winners and says, "All right, you guys, altos, here's your harmony." which is like mind-boggling to me. And also Carole King gave him a note correction, which was hilarious. and you know, so we recorded that day, and we had a master of it, and the whole thing was filmed beautifully by Playbill. So we had a master of it Friday that we had ready for sale yesterday, and it's the number 2 song on iTunes. I think 100% of the every penny of it goes to the GLBT Center, a community center of Central Florida, and then today they filmed it for Maya and Marty, and it's been incredible. And a lot of people who maybe couldn't make the recording session came in to sub out for people who couldn't make the filming today. So like Lorna Luft was there. Kevin Chamberlain flew from LA just to sing a line because he wanted to make his voice heard. It's been really moving and beautiful, and I'm so happy to have been a minuscule part of it.
Well, that's just awesome, Robbie. I'm so glad, and we're going to have to get you on this summer. We keep talking about it, but we're going to have a standalone episode where we talk about Just Cast Recordings and how the process is and what goes into it, because it's really interesting to me, at least. I hope it's interesting to others. Robbie, have a great night, and we will talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Hey, thanks, James. We'll talk soon.
I want to thank Patrick and Robbie for jumping on at the last minute to give us their takes on Fun Home and the other stuff for Robbie. They jumped in at the last minute unrehearsed, and I appreciate that. We're going to have a shortened show today, just a handful of headlines here, but let's start off with Mr. Riedel at the New York Post says the Groundhog Day Broadway musical is in big trouble. Riedel reports that Groundhog Day won't make it over the Atlantic in the near future. You may remember that we reported a few weeks ago that Scott Rudin left the production in what was rumored to be tension between the producer, Rudin, and he has approximately 60 Broadway credits, and the director, Matthew Warkus, with approximately 12 credits of his own. We'll have to see how this plays out, if in fact Groundhog Day will make it across the pond without Rudin. But just a little thought about Rudin's credits. Last season alone, Rudin produced six little shows: Arthur Miller's View from the Bridge, The Humans, King Charles III, Blackbird, Arthur Miller's The Crucible, and Shuffle Along, or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921, and all that followed. And he took home two Tony Awards a couple of weeks ago, so I don't know if I'd bet against Scott Rudin. In the next story, I think that Matt might have mentioned this on air, but I'm not really sure. We talked about Kristen Chenoweth is going to portray Velma Van Tussle in NBC's Hairspray Live. That officially came out. Kristen teased some photographs of her with the crown on the other day, and we had supposed that perhaps she was about to announce this. So we're looking forward to Hairspray Live, which is coming up. In other announcements, we got late word that Lewis Black is coming back to Broadway in a show called Black to the Future. Lewis Black is a stand-up comedian that we probably know more along the lines from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, but he's playing four performances only on Broadway, September 12th, 19th, 26th, and October 10th. And so we'll be seeing him at the Marriott Marquis. A few quick bits of information have come to us via Periscope, where Lin-Manuel Miranda broadcast at 4 p.m. from his dressing room at the Richard Rogers Theater. He saying that Jonathan Groff is going to be in the filmed version of Hamilton. There's no word on Leslie Odom Jr., as we talked about yesterday, and also that his T-shirt benefit, the Love is Love T-shirt benefiting Orlando's LGBT community, is sold out, but there will be more coming. We also hear that Come From Away, the musical about the travelers stranded on 9/11 in Newfoundland, is going to be playing at the Ford Theater in the D.C. Area, and that the cast is set. Jen Colella and Jad Kimball will recreate their Seattle roles. Come From Away is a new rock musical that talks about the true story of some planes that were grounded in Newfoundland on September 11, 2001. It had a world premiere at La Jolla in the summer of 2015 and played at Seattle Rep last fall, and now is playing in Washington, D.C.'s Ford's Theater September 2nd through October 9th, and then it's going to be playing at Toronto's Mirvish Theater November 15th to January 1st with an eye on coming to Broadway. So that's a brief overview of what happened yesterday on Broadway, and we'd like to thank you for joining us again on Today on Broadway. Matt will be back tomorrow to take over the reins for me. Matt would be mad at me if I didn't say we would love you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Broadway Radio, and listen to Matt's Some Like It Pop podcast, which he and Jen took a look at the Tony Awards, and it was a very interesting podcast. So get over to Some Like It Pop as well on Broadway World and take a listen to that. So my name is James Marino from Broadway Radio and BroadwayStars.com, and we will talk to you tomorrow.